Hey friends, welcome to Remarkable Results Radio, episode 466. Hey, I'm with one of your industry colleagues who found the good sense to dig deep into the Department of Labor's wage and hour rules. I have a question. How compliant are you with wage and hour rules?
Where that auditor comes in and he's asking that employee, what do they do? And they'll ask them some questions about that. And if they can't fill in those blanks right, then that auditor can easily make that person no longer exempt.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, friends. Carm Capriotto, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy here. Now, even in this technology-driven world we live in, nothing beats the face-to-face meetings I've had at Apex. Plan now to attend November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. Not too early to sign up. Go to AAPEXShow.com. Hey, and at Apex, I'll be moderating a panel titled Aftermarket 2030, Consolidation Trends, Opportunities, and Challenges for the Independent Service Professional. Now, this discussion will absolutely help you plan important moves for your business in the future. Now, if you've been to Apex, you know it is the place to go if you earn your living in the aftermarket. Now, I hope to see you there November 5th through the 7th, 2019. AAPEXShow.com is the place to register and learn more. Hey, do you know someone who is struggling to grow a great automotive service business? Well, please put them in touch with this podcast. We are a strong foundation for personal training and shared wisdom that helps all ships rise. Now, I know that when you share this treasure of insights, ideas, and best practices, your friend will gain the confidence to make some bold decisions in improving their business. As always, thanks for sharing and for listening on your favorite free podcast listening app. Hey, by the way, find the key talking points and a link to Mike Davidson's website where you can get his wage and hour book at remarkableresults.biz/E466. So here's another reason to make Remarkable Results Radio an important part of your learning curve: wage and hour. There are many interpretations of wage and hour rules, and that is what Mike Davidson discovered when he sat down in a Department of Labor seminar. As he got deeper into his own business with his newfound knowledge, he realized that there are many others like him that could benefit from his research. So he wrote a book, and he's providing supporting documentation and spreadsheets to help you be and stay compliant. Mike Davidson owns Parkway Automotive in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he's been on the show before, and he's got an impressive resume, including being an AMI graduate, an ASE Master Tech. He was recognized as the Arkansas Napa ASE Tech of the Year 7 years in a row. He's also part-time elite worldwide coach. Hey, ever have a Department of Labor audit? Well, I hope you never do. And if you do, I hope you fly through it with this advice from Mike Davidson. Hey, a warm welcome to Mike Davidson. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Carm. Glad to be here today.
I'm happy you're here from Parkway Automotive, part-time coach with Elite Worldwide.
Yeah, do a little bit of that, and do some seminars as well, and teaching in the business in different places. So, after being in the business for 35 years and being a shop owner for 21, I just have a desire to share some of the things that I've learned with shop owners.
I'm so glad you do, and you are. And one other thing that you recently did, which is why I'm bringing you back on, is you became an author.
Yeah, this is actually a third book that I have written so far. The first one I wrote was Big Business in Little Rock with some other business owners, entrepreneurs here in Little Rock. That was sort of my first exposure to writing books. And then the second one was for my customers. It's called Start Me Up. It's a practical guide to understanding your vehicle. And then this third book, Wage and Hour, is for shop owners. And so there are more coming that I'm really focusing my time and resources on writing books for the industry under a sort of an umbrella called Industry Essentials.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. They're specific, and I think we're going to nail into this first book that you wrote for the industry called Wage and Hour Compliance. How did you get to the point that you wanted to write a book about that? And by the way, let me say this. Please listen carefully, because this stuff is really important.
Yeah, you know, it did start with me sitting in a conference in early 2019 and listening to a consultant talk to us about wage and hour and some of the federal guidelines. And when I when that conference was over, we really got some good information, but we also left, like you do a lot of times, you know, you leave with more questions than you do answers. And that was kind of the case. And so I reached out to that management company and talked to them a little bit more, got a little bit more information, but still just being the inquisitive person I am and truly worried sick about what how I might be in trouble as well as the rest of our colleagues. I hired a wage and hour attorney. I then went to a one-day boot camp on wage and hour, and then I finally just cut through the muck and called the Department of Labor and talked to them directly with the rest of my questions and to verify things. And it was from all of that that I decided I needed to write wage and hour compliance for the independent automotive industry, because believe it or not, there's some clear differences between even people who do the exact same job in the dealership than there are for us in the independent, and we need to understand that. And so it really inspired me to get this down in writing and put documents together to help our colleagues get this right so they don't have to worry about it, because it can worry you to death when you see some of the numbers. And so anyway, that's what drove me to sort of do this.
Did you discover that maybe you were doing a few things wrong?
I did. I think the thing that I mostly did that I needed to understand better was is making sure that I included all compensatory activities, such as answering emails and helping customer after hours. And this is all time that needs to be tracked regardless of how I pay. That time that my employees spend, and I say it this way in the book, any time spent benefiting the employer, all right, that is compensatory activity that should be documented, that they had that time under their time tracking devices. So that is critical, especially if you get audited, because they can come up. I mean, they can come up with numbers that may or may not be real. If you don't have them documented, then it's not going to be in your favor. It's just not going to be in your favor.
Yeah. Word there is if you get audited. And yeah. Do you know how often this happens?
It happens more than you might think. You know, each year the Department of Labor actually looks at a particular industry. Now, on our side, we would say they target a particular industry, but they do focus in on concentrate on particular industries at different years. So they discuss it, they talk about it, they think about the ones that might be out of compliance. And those are the ones they're going to go and meet with. We would say go after, but they mean, you know, we say they're going to go meet with. And so that's, you know, our industry, the construction industry, is another one that's gets looked at pretty carefully right now.
What's the look back?
3 years. You know, they'll go back 3 years when they're sitting down. And that's the thing about the time tracking. You know, I've said this, I can walk into a room and not remember why I walked into the room. Maybe it's my age, and we sometimes say that, but you know, there's a lot of people do that, or they can't remember what they had for lunch the day before. So why would I depend on my employees to be the accurate time record of how much time they spent doing compensatory activities over the last week or the last month or the last 3 years? I mean, that's just foolish on our part as business owners to allow them to know and remember what all they did and how much time they spent doing it over the last 3 years. And I make a point in the book to show you how a 50-cent mistake can equal over $60,000 in fines, just a 50-cent mistake.
No doubt, Mike. Yeah. Did you make all of these changes inside your company that you're talking about in the book?
Oh yeah, most definitely. We weren't too far off from some of them, but certainly we made the changes. And I do a mid-year review with all my employees. And so in June, as we did that review, I went through with each employee one-on-one, what the changes were, why we did them. I took their compensation packages and highlighted the words that that changed in their compensation package so they could see. Now, how they were getting paid was not did not change on our side because of what we'd been doing previously, but certain words needed to be in the compensation package that kept us within regulations of the Department of Labor. And so that I made those changes, highlighted them, and explained it to each of my employees.
And that stuff's in the book.
Yeah, so what we did with the book is not only could you see them in the book, but we created a web page that you get a link to the download and all those in a Word document. So you can now go in and when you buy the book, you can get the job descriptions and you can get the compensation packages and then you can edit them. But the important thing is I bold printed the words that the DOL wants to see or find favorable in the comp packages. And so I say, you know, keep those words, but then do whatever else you want. So if you don't have a job description or, you know, it's been a long time since you've modified your job description, I've got it all current for you. You can go in there, download it, and it's a Word doc and you can edit however you want, make it fit and go with it. So you could have one pretty quick, you know, for your company.
In my whole life, every time I talked about a job description with anybody, I called them JDs. So from now on, they're called JDs here on the show.
You got it.
And one of the things, and we're going to talk about JDs here in a little bit, because they're so critical and so important, as you point out in the book. But, you know, one of the things that I learned a long time ago, which I know you cover in the book, is that most of the positions are exempt from overtime rules. That's what we always thought.
Yeah. So I'll just talk about technicians as an example, because that's one that, you know, most of us have are technicians. So there's a section 206 in the wage and hour law that says that talks about it establishes minimum wage. And then section 207 establishes sort of the overtime, or they call it premium pay, overtime premium pay. But Section 213 is sort of the exemption that we look at in our industry because it specifically says the word mechanics in it. So that's the one we would cling to. But you have to look at that exemption very closely, Carm, because in Section 213B, Section 10, and here's what it says. I'll just read it so it's absolutely right on. It says, here's the exemption. Any salesman, partsman, or mechanic primarily engaged in selling or servicing automobiles, trucks, or farm equipment, if he is employed by a non-manufacturing establishment primarily engaged in the business of selling such vehicles or implements to ultimate purchasers. That means that that exemption is for new car dealerships, not for us. But we take it as ours. And it's not ours. It's not our exemption. So immediately an auditor, and I have cases backing that up where the businesses were fined for not paying mechanics overtime. And it was because of this exemption. There's one here in Little Rock that was a tire store that was fined $90,808. And it says specifically that they willfully failed to pay overtime to 12 technicians at its Little Rock locations when they worked more than 40 hours.
Are we smart enough to argue with the DOL?
Well, that's where it just you start to see there's exemptions to the exemptions. There's another exemption that has to do with cars weighing under 10,000 pounds are going across interstate travel, are carrying multiple passengers. But then within that exemption, it says clearly, but does not apply to commercial garages. Now, that's us. And so the exemption to the exemption says we're not exempt. And so what happens is when the auditor gets in there and you think you're okay, and a good example that I use in the book is where we make someone a shop foreman and we start paying them a salary. But then in the interview with that employee, it's determined that they actually help with production. Well, you just lost your exemption. Just like that. And so this is why no matter what you do or how is it you pay, and I talk more about that, but is that you do time tracking, period. Make sure everybody's clocking in and out, period. It could save you thousands of dollars in an audit just because you've got the time tracking to show that how much time they actually worked. Because if they change you from exempt or from exempt to non-exempt, then if you don't have hourlies, that's where you are wide open. You're wide open.
Wow, you're just. I'm nervous to even want to think about putting the key in the door tomorrow because I may be breaking an exemption of an exemption of a rule of a rule.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where I went to work building this this worksheet called a regular rate calculator that's also on the webpage. And this got reviewed by the wage and hour attorney and also by the Department of Labor, who, by the way, says, Mike, you are saying things that we aren't allowed to tell you, you know, as a DOL. So with the regular rate calculator, what we did is we created the worksheet with the equations that are necessary, that if you put every way that you pay, everything that you pay your employee, whether it's for an after-hours phone call or helping a customer or for training pay or for in-the-building pay, whatever it is, and however you do it, you've got one place that you put all of that, and then you have another place that you put the total hours worked. So the total hours they spent doing those things I just mentioned, and it will automatically figure for you what their what's called the regular rate, what the regular rate should be, and what the correct overtime rate will be, so that you're paying them accurately. And so what happens is in an audit, you would show them the regular rate calculator, you would show them the employee's pay stub, and they'll be an exact match. And there's nothing left to talk about.
Wow.
And so that's what we did so that we could get, so all of us could get it right. Because it's just, you know, we have so much to do, Carm, as you know, as business owners. I had to make this simple, and we don't need something else to worry about. And certainly something that could impose a lot of fines and penalties on us. And so with the job description, the compensation packages, the regular rate calculator, that's going to help all of us really get it right. That's what it's going to do.
You know, you put your heart and soul into your work every day, but the automotive aftermarket, it moves fast. And staying competitive means staying up to date on the very latest training and new products. At Apex, the Automotive Aftermarket Product Expo, the training sessions are some of the best I've ever seen, and they all take place over a 3-day period, all under one roof. Apex training is geared toward shop owners, technicians, auto parts retailers, and warehouse distributors, and each year, Apex adds new programs to make sure you stay ahead. In 2018 alone, Apex added shop equipment and technology training and electric car and alternative fuel vehicle training. Now keep in mind, these sessions are taught by many of the top trainers in the industry. Mark your calendar now to attend Apex 2019, November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit aapexshow.com. Thanks for being here, Mike. It's so appreciative that, you know, you felt you had this experience at the DOL, and then you decided to do the research and write a book. And you talk a little bit about audits in the book, but, you know, what should we know about an audit?
Well, one thing you should know about an audit is that if they do an audit, coming in the door, they believe that everybody is hourly, unless exemption applies. Now, I just want you to know that's their mindset. Everybody here should be paid hourly. And that's true. They state that most employees in the United States of America should be paid hourly, unless exemption applies. And that's where all the very gray, convoluted, difficult interpretation, or even difference of interpretation. Now, if the auditor has one interpretation and you have another, that's where we got to get attorneys involved, and you'll have to defend your position in a court of law. But in the interview and there in the audit, attorneys are not allowed during their interview with your employees, not allowed to be in there. They will read your job description, but what will trump even the job description is what the employee says they do. They call it a duties test. So they actually ask the employee, tell me what you do day to day. Do you answer any emails after work? Does your boss send you an email after work that pertains to work that you have to answer? Things like that. Those are all compensatory activities that the DOL sees.
Yeah, but Mike, if I am truly a salaried individual, and you're telling me if I answer an email at night, that's not compensatory, is it?
But the time spent should be tracked. And so the thing that I've discovered is that what you said, if I'm truly a salaried employee And that's where the definition is, because they've even changed the salary level, or they made a proposition in March of this year to change the salary level of folks that like our administrative exemption. That's called administrative exemption, where it was $455 a week that had to be paid. Well, that's now moving to $679. I haven't seen that's been approved yet, but I have no reason for it, you know, to believe that it won't be. And so the problem will be is that where you and I are sitting there going, they're truly an exempt employee and they're a salary employee, and then during the audit it's discovered it's not, that's where we're open.
And the discovery is not only in the discussion that DOL may have had with the employees, but it's what your JD said and the duties in the job description, right?
Yes, and that's why it's so important. And also, I stress this in the book, that once you've written your job description, you've taken the template, you've written the job description, and your compensation packages, send that over to a wage and hour attorney in your state. The state laws will always protect the employer at a greater level than the federal. And so the book was written at the federal level. And so so once you have your stuff sort of done, before you present it to employees, you want to send that over to an attorney that's within your state, that is knowledgeable in your state law, have them read it over and sort of get their thumbs up on it all. That's what you want to do.
You know, interesting, I recall, and it's been a while, that when we were writing job descriptions back in the day, We were concerned that they had the power to make decisions and hire and fire, and that almost lent itself to be exempt. What do you know about that?
And so although you may have that written in your job description, again, it'll come back to that interview with the employee, and as I used the example for the shop foreman earlier. And so, yes, there's those three things that they say makes you that manager, you know, over profit, can hire and fire, manage more than two people. If they are involved in production, they can pull them out of that and call them, no, you're hourly.
Hey, so glad you're sharing this with the industry. I think we all have a lot to learn, and a lot of times we look the other way when we think about trying to be compliant. What is compliance? And I think the book lends itself to help people go a long way to learn that. And my thought was is that we have so many office managers that are salaried. Do they just say, hey, listen, I want to make $500 a week, you know, and I'll give you 40 hours,
I know.
Come here and have some fun. Is that allowable?
Yeah, so that was sort of the thing I had mentioned earlier about some of the changes they had made, where they're going to boost that proposal salary level from $455 a week. So they're saying that administrative exemption, and there are specific tasks that makes that administrative exemption qualifiable, which would include just, you know, looking over P&Ls and balance sheets and involved in the financial part of the business, not just paying your bills. They need to be involved in it in a greater way than you might think. And that's where that auditor comes in, and he's asking that employee, what do they do? And they'll ask them some questions about that. And if they can't fill in those blanks right, then that auditor can easily make that person no longer exempt. And then that's when they're going to next ask for time cards.
Okay. So to be safe, I'm sitting down and I'm talking to hiring an office manager, and they say, listen, I just want $500 a week. And says, listen, I'm not going to pay you $500 a week. I'm going to pay you X dollars per hour. And, you know, whatever benefits go along with it, it's easy for us to just want to pay a number.
Yeah, that would be the thing to do, is to come down to an hourly rate, and that's your safest bet than trying to get outside that administrative rule or thinking that you are within it when you're really not. And so getting it down to that hourly rate is the safest place for us to be. Now, how do we do that with service advisors and technicians? Well, I help you do that through the regular rate calculator. That's basically mm-hmm. what I'm able to help you do, so that you know the audit is left with nothing really to audit, because everything matches up. The compensation package states what my base rate is, all those definitions that we need to understand about base rate and halftime premium pay and regular rate. What does all that mean?
All that's in there?
It's all in there. So
flat rates in there?
Yeah. I explain how it needs to be worded in the compensation package so that you can pay flat rate, you can pay commission, you can pay however you want. And actually, the DOL even says You can pay people however you want. You just have to make sure it meets federal guidelines. That's what we do with the regular rate calculator. We make sure that how you pay meets federal guidelines. That's what we're after.
So as you're researching the book and you spend time with DOL and you got that passion inside of you, what did you learn of the biggest things that we're doing wrong?
Well, timekeeping, that's it. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's timekeeping. I mean, that if we have the timekeeping piece, if we have that on file, we can save ourselves a lot of money, even if we have to pay something because of an audit. That's going to make it accurate. So you need the time piece, and you need it signed by the employee that this is the hours I worked. And you need to do it for any 7-day period. So for those of us that are paying every 2 weeks, you need to stop at 7 days, and I'll say reconcile. All right. What did they do? What did they earn? And, you know, how much time did they spend doing it? That's for that 7 days. And then the next 7 days. And now we're going to add those two together for their total pay if we're paying every 2 weeks, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the biggest fouls, we'll call them.
What did you do to keep the time tracking working? Was there a piece of software? You know, was there something already built into your SMS or any other kind of tracking piece that you used?
I'm really surprised at how long it's actually taking or has taken a lot of the software manufacturers in our industry to get that time piece in our software. I use a piece called Time Clock Plus, and there are multiple types of software out there for time tracking. And so some of us are using it. But I'll say this about time tracking. Let's say that you're still doing handwritten. Well, okay, so you've got them all and they're all handwritten. Well, one of the things, the flags for the DOL, is those time cards that have a time that is multiple by four are divisible by four. All right. Because what will happen is you'll come in and you'll say, well, I came to work at 8 and I took lunch at noon, 4 hours. Came back at 1. Got off at 5, 4 hours. Well, they know that that's probably not real, okay? Because they're looking for 4.32 hours, 4. You know,
I get it.
You see what I'm saying?
It's not an exacting science.
Yeah, that's right. So they know that if it's handwritten, most of those numbers are by four, and it's probably not true. They're all guesses, and then they're going to start digging.
That's the quick test, the acid test.
Yeah. Yes. So get an electronic timepiece and make sure your people clock in and out, period.
Deal with the point twos and the point threes.
Yeah,
wow.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So okay, look, it looks like a labor of love for you. How's this book going to help us?
Yeah. Well, it's going to help you, one, because you do have the written job descriptions and you have the written compensation packages that you can download. I also have on there the opinion from the wage and hour attorney. So that's available to you. And then the job descriptions are actually quite every job description you see in the book. So I have facility maintenance. I have office manager. I have a technician. I have a service advisor. So I tried to think of all the positions that might be in any particular shop, whether small or large. So they're all in there in a Word document for you to edit. And then the regular rate calculator is key. It's on there. You can't mess up. I've got all of the formulas hidden and locked, so you can't mess it up.
Okay.
And so you can just go where you're supposed to go. I have instructions on each one, and I even have a template. And I took some snapshots of the boot camp of a couple of the slides that I thought were important. And just real quickly, give you an example. If you establish a training rate where let's just say they're doing two different jobs for you. They're doing social media and they're the service advisor. And the social media job pays a certain amount and the service advisor pays a certain amount. Well, you're to add those together as a total dollar amount. And that's what goes in the regular rate calculator because their rate of pay is different. And then that total is then divided by the number of hours spent doing both of those jobs, and now it comes up with the correct regular rate. That's what the Department of Labor is looking for, is did you calculate the regular rate accurately so that the overtime rate is calculated accurately? If you don't have the regular rate calculator, then you can mess up. All the formulas are in there for you. And so we just made it where hopefully you can't mess up. But so we've got a few examples in there so you can really understand it, instructions for the regular rate calculator. And then I laid out a tab for every employee for like 9 technicians, 3 service advisors, facility maintenance person, office manager. So each has their own tab in the worksheet So you can, you know, you can just go to work and save it for that work week and just, you know, then use it again the next week.
Well, I love the fact that you've got written compensation packages, you've got job descriptions, very thorough, even though it's not a really big and long book, very concentrated, very thorough, very, very much to the point. How do we get this book?
Yeah, go to industryessentials.net, and it'll have a tab that there says wage and hour. You put in your email address, you buy the book, and you immediately get the ebook free. And then we send you the hard copy. And I guess I'm a little old fashioned. I like the hard copies, and I like writing in the old hard copies.
Oh, sure.
You know, I'll get that book and I'll just start writing. And so what I recommend is when you get that hard copy, you just start, keep it with you all the time, go through it, make changes that you think apply to your business, and then sit down with those documents that are on the site, download them, and then make the changes you need. And now you have what you need. So, all of that's there. It's all for you, and the book is $24.95, so we've made it pretty affordable to get all of those documents and all of that.
You see what I'm holding up here? These Post-it flags, these colorful Post-it flags.
Yeah.
That's exactly why you need to get the book, so you can put the Post-it flags on all the red flags and everything where you think you've got a problem.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, those are really good.
Well, great. Hey, look, thanks for being here. Thanks for writing the book for the industry. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming here and explaining, and actually, I guess getting us to think that it's not necessarily a walk in the park to do some of the things that we're currently doing, because the federal government may just walk in one day and says, "Hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to help."
I know, right? Yeah, that's that's a pretty scary, pretty scary thought. Yeah, for sure.
Mike Davidson, Parkway Automotive, part-time coach with Elite Worldwide, and author of the new book, Wage and Hour Compliance, is specifically for our industry. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you bet. Glad to be a part of it, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.